Blog Talk Radio.
Bad fuckers.
Good morning. I gotta jump right into the stories because I only got an hour today. I gotta go do some stuff for the new studio, which is happening, as I've mentioned before on air. And I also gotta, not that you guys give a fuck, but I gotta prep for another bachelor party I have to go to. I'm in that age, man. I'm right at that age where all the friends get married and then invite you to the weddings. And then you gotta go to bachelor parties and shit. So, anywho, I'm not even going to tease you. I'm not even going to give any spoilers today. I'm just going to jump right into it because I want to get to all of it. I basically jammed a full show into an hour, so no fucking around today. Let's do it. Right off the bat here, Hillary Clinton. So Hillary Clinton tweeted her standard anti-Trump stuff yesterday, and at one point she said, "They say your friends reflect who you really are." And then she linked to a list of his supporters. Now, to be fair to her, of course, she's correct in that the list is troubling. For example, on the list, we have Ann Coulter, joke of a human being, Sarah Palin, perhaps an even bigger joke, Joe Arpaio, who's a loathsome cretin, and probably worst of all, David Duke, the most anti-Semitic person on the planet. And in fact, he was a former KKK leader. So, is that a fair thing to say, that they say your friends reflect who you are? Well, I mean, I guess that's kind of a fair thing to say, but if it's a fair thing to say against Donald Trump, it's also a fair thing to say against Hillary Clinton. So the internet went in on this. So let's take a look at some of her friends. Oh, yes. Yes, yes. That would be her yucking it up and laughing and having a good time with Mr. Occupation himself, Benjamin Netanyahu. For those of you who don't remember or don't know, it wasn't that long ago that Benjamin Netanyahu went on a bomb fest, a massacre orgy in Gaza, where he killed 60-80% civilians with his attacks. There were reports they went after hospitals and schools and the only power plant in Gaza, stay classy. And of course, he's been expanding settlements ever since he's been in office. So there you go. Hey, your friends reflect who you really are, right, Hillary Clinton? All right, next. Yeah, that would be war criminal Henry Kissinger. And for those of you who haven't seen the entire segment that I did on what Henry Kissinger did, well, definitely take a look at that because there's too much crime to shove into this little segment here. All right, let's take a look at the next one here. Whoops! You are, your friends reflect who you really are. Well, this would be Hillary Clinton with Donald Trump laughing and having a good time. So I guess there's at least some views that they share. All right, next one. Yeah, George W. Bush. And they look pretty comfy there. But it's okay because a fair response is, well, Kyle, come on. I mean, this picture might not mean anything because obviously it's not like she went along with George W. Bush with his biggest blunder like the Iraq War. She voted against the Iraq War. Oh, wait. No, that's right. She voted for it. So, yeah. Yucking it up again with somebody who is arguably, and perhaps we've even gone past the arguably point, but a war criminal. So, wonderful. Do you have a picture of locking arms with Dick Cheney? Maybe giving him a foot massage or something? Is that something that's available? All right, and finally, let's take a look at the last one here, perhaps the worst of all of them. Yeah, that would be Hillary Clinton with the Saudi king. Now, again, I know all you guys know this, but it's necessary to bring it up to illuminate the kind of person that we're talking about here. Saudi Arabia is a place where all atheists are considered terrorists. Saudi Arabia is a place where you can be put to death for witchcraft and sorcery and drug smuggling and all types of nonsense crimes that aren't even crimes. And as we covered on the show recently, Saudi Arabia is a place where even different more liberal modern interpretations of Islam are banned. So, hey, you are the friends that you keep, and I haven't even brought up the fact that Saudi Arabia is currently doing a bomb fest in Yemen, where over 50% of the people that they've killed are civilians, many of them women, many of them children. They've even bombed schools for the blind. In fact, the whole point of the bombing mission is to attack civilians, if you ask me. That's from my analysis of what they've been doing. And remember, it was Hillary Clinton who facilitated gigantic weapons deals that went to the Saudi regime. So, hey, again, I'm not the one who made the original claim. She made the original claim. They say your friends reflect who you really are. Well, that says a lot about you, too, doesn't it, Hillary? I'm cruising, baby. One and done. Next. We go to Politico. More on Hillary. Oh, boy. A lot of Hillary. Politico broke a very revealing story that should get under the skin of liberals and progressives. Listen to this. They say, Hillary Clinton's supporters in recent days have been making a furious round of calls to top Bush family donors to try to convince them that she represents their values better than Donald Trump, multiple sources in both parties told Politico. The moves come as Clinton and the Democratic Party try to take advantage of deep unease among establishment Republicans on Wall Street and elsewhere with Trump's emergence as the presumptive Republican nominee. So, you got that right, you know, you heard it. The Clinton campaign and her surrogates and her people, they're like, I got it. Because there's so many people are uneasy with Trump being the Republican nominee, how about we go to them and say, we represent your values, great. And she's talking about Bush donors. And they go on to give specifics. They say, for example, a former top Jeb Bush donor. You got Hillary's people calling them like, you know that she's with you, right? You know that she's on your side. And they make clear to mention here, we're talking mostly on Wall Street. So Republican donors on Wall Street who, you know, she can waltz in and say, okay, hey, we might not agree totally on social issues. We don't. But when it comes to Wall Street, am I with you? You bet your ass I am. I mean, this should be embarrassing. But I feel like the Hillary campaign at this point, they're just shameless. Because Bernie Sanders has been calling them out from day one and embarrassing them from day one. And not only do they take it on the chin, she then turns around and continues to do Wall Street fundraisers as Bernie is still out there saying she's doing Wall Street fundraisers. Look at her. She can't help herself. She can't stop. Can't stop, won't stop. So that's where we're at right now. Now, I want to get to my favorite part of the article because this is so telling. Quote, one big Clinton donor on Wall Street said that Bush donors are prime targets and that wear a big tent. Oh, God, does that hurt. This is the same line that Debbie Wasserman Schultz used, where, you know, when Jordan Sheridan, TYT's reporter, was talking to her and saying, yeah, okay, I get it, but what about the whole, like, you guys taking a shitload of money from Wall Street stuff? Don't you think that you know, there's going to be influence peddling there and that people do favoritism and look out for the people who give them money? And her response was, well, I mean, but we're a Big Ten party. So we're a Big Ten party, therefore we love corruption too. We have such a big tent that corruption is in our tent. And, you know, we embrace that fully. Well, that's the point she's making. Yeah, I mean, former Bush family donors? Yeah, we're going to call them and tell them we represent them because we're a Big Tent party. Why would you want those people in your fucking tent? Why would you want that? I don't want them in my tent. Get the fuck out of my tent. I mean, it's like, why would you want your tent to be so big that it encapsulates bad people? I want my tent to be so big that, sure, we have people who believe in social democracy, but also some fascists. Why would you want them in your tent? You shouldn't want them in your tent because that's a reflection on you. And they're calling them and begging them and saying, hey, look, we're going to look out for you, man. You're on Wall Street. And then the best line on this is actually from Andrew Perez on Twitter. He said the following. Funny, Clinton's allies aren't plotting her appeal to Sanders' small-dollar donors, but to Wall Street execs. Oh, that is exactly correct, and it is massively disheartening. Because she had the opportunity, man. She was asked the question by Maddow in a recent debate, or I should say town hall, like, okay, what are you going to do to reach out to the disaffected Bernie voters who aren't on your side? And her response was, I have more votes than him. I have more votes than him. Okay, but what are you going to do to try to get them on board? And she says, well, you know, in 2008, I had no preconditions, and I supported Barack Obama. That's the right thing to do. I hope Bernie will do the same. So in other words, I'm not going to do dick for you. I'm not going to do anything for you. You better just vote for me. If you're in the progressive base, that's how they think of you. If you're a true liberal, if you're a true progressive, it's this smug attitude like obviously you're going to vote for me. What else are you going to do? So she doesn't think about you. She doesn't care about you. She doesn't worry about you at all. And then who does she turn and actually try to woo? Bush donors. Republicans on Wall Street who she says, I represent your values better than Trump does. In other words, I'm going to sell out even more to Wall Street than Trump will. It's like, honestly, when I read this stuff, I think it's like she's trying to lose the general election. But you know what it is? It really is that arrogance and that certitude and that pomposity that everybody's been telling her from day one. It's a cakewalk against Trump. It ain't going to be a cakewalk against Trump. I'm telling you that right now. I've said it from the beginning. It's not going to be a cakewalk, especially when you treat your base, real progressives and liberals, the way you do. And then you shamelessly try to court people in the country who are the biggest enemies of what your ideology should be. But that's the thing. It's not the ideology you actually have, because you kind of actually do agree with those people. So here she is yet again showing her true colors. All right, more. I told you I'm cruising, bitch. All right, I have one more on Hillary Clinton here. And then we'll pivot later on to Trump. I got some healthcare news. I got some news about ideology and how intelligent you are, you know, your political affiliation and its correlation with intelligence. Interesting. All right, so now let's go to Hillary Clinton and her new ads. This is actually going to be a really fun segment because I have a lot to say about this. So Hillary Clinton's people released some new ads. I want to take a look at the first one and then we'll discuss.
We're going to be a unified party. He is a con artist.
A phony.
Donald Trump is a know-nothing candidate. Donald is a bully.
This is an individual who mocked a disabled reporter.
I don't remember.
Who attributed a reporter's questions to her menstrual cycle.
Blood coming out of her from wherever.
The most vulgar person to ever aspire to the presidency.
The man who seems to only feel big when he's trying to make other people look small.
Don't worry about it, little Margo.
Gentlemen,
the man is utterly aimless.
The sign of deep insecurity and weakness.
The bullying, the greed, the showing off.
I'm really rich.
The misogyny, the absurd third grade theatrics.
Count to ten, Donald. Count to ten.
He's a race baiting, xenophobic, religious bigot.
A narcissist at a level I don't think this country's ever seen.
He would not be the commander in chief we need to keep our country safe.
This guy is so unfit to be commander in chief.
His domestic policies would lead to recession. His foreign policies would make America and the world less safe.
I bring people together.
He says that's certainly right, you do.
He needs therapy.
Now, a lot of websites that, let's face it, lean in Hillary Clinton's direction, had headlines like, ooh, she released some devastating ads against Donald Trump. They were fucking giddy over it. I don't like it. Now, understand, guys, I'm gonna keep it real with you no matter what. So when I see a Hillary ad that I like against Trump, I'm going to tell you I like that ad. I'm going to tell you why I like that ad. I don't like this ad. Here's the problem with it. You're taking people who are less liked than Donald Trump and attacking him with their words. It won't do anything. So when you have Mitt Romney, who roughly negative 8 people in the country like, attacking Donald Trump, people are going to go, yeah, but I like Donald Trump, especially in the Republican base. Yeah, I like Donald Trump more than I like Mitt Romney. He's the loser. And that's how Trump has been the loser. He's a loser. You have fucking Jeb Bush in there attacking Donald Trump. I don't even think Jeb Bush likes Jeb Bush. So who are you convincing with that ad? There's nobody that's going to watch that ad and go, yeah, you got him because, you know, you're making an effective argument against him. No, and that's the point, is it's kind of bordering on PC outrage. you're not really doing policy specifics here. You're doing, oh, look at these other bad people who dislike Trump and think he's a bad person. And then, so what? So what's really happening here is she's trying to get Republican votes. She's trying to get Republican votes. That's what she's doing. Hillary, you're never going to get Republican votes. Now, some people might say, well, Kyle, how the fuck can you say that? There's been a litany of Republicans who've come out and said, we will never back Trump. Well, number one, that doesn't mean they're going to vote for her. And number two, that doesn't mean that, you know, she's going to get Republican base voters, people who are like the people in America. The only people who would even fucking consider it are, you know, people who are in the establishment. So neoconservatives and people like Bill Kristol, people who have a shitload of money, are connected to Wall Street, and would lean in that direction for that reason. That demographic in the country is so tiny. It's this the tiniest fraction of elites and establishment Republicans. No actual average Joe Republicans are going to vote for Hillary Clinton. It's just not going to happen. So you're reaching for a tiny demographic that in her mind she thinks is bigger. She thinks she can get like Republican base voters to cross over because she thinks there are Republican base voters who are super anti-Trump. They don't exist. They don't exist. The only Republicans who are against Trump are in the establishment. So your ad here is just you're aiming at the wrong demographic, and yet again, who are you going to lose? Your base voters. She couldn't be more smug and dismissive of her own base voters. I mean, to actual liberals and actual progressives, where she said she's not going to do anything to try to reach out to Bernie supporters, and she's begging Bush donors now to back her. I mean, you're gonna lose them, Hillary. You're going to lose them. They're either going to stay home, they're going to vote Jill Stein, they're going to write in Bernie Sanders, or a very tiny percentage of them will flip and vote for Trump. I've seen it myself. Granted, it's anecdotal, but I got a lot of people tweeting me, but not Bernie, I'm going to go for Trump because fuck this fucking system. So it's the wrong strategy. You're going in the wrong direction, and you're not to use Jeb Bush and Mitt Romney and Ted Cruz. Like Ted Cruz is saying he's never seen a narcissist bigger than Trump. Look in the mirror, dipshit. You might be right there with him. So I don't – like it's this stupid strategy that she thinks is like a gotcha. It's not a gotcha. It's not a gotcha. You're only going to make him stronger with stupid attacks like this. All right, but now let's get to the second ad because the second ad I think is a little bit better. Let's watch and then I'll explain why.
They're bringing drugs. They're bringing crime. They're rapists.
I'll use the word incubate.
This is a country where we speak English, not Spanish.
You're going to have a deportation force.
I will get rid of gun-free zones on schools. My first day, it gets signed.
A total and complete shutdown
of Muslims entering the United States.
Do you still believe that Muslims should be banned from entering the country until we can figure out what's going on, as you've said?
Yes, we have to find out what the hell is going on.
What do you think of what we're doing? I said it's fine. And if we want to go stronger, I'd go stronger too.
When you get these terrorists, you have to take out their families.
Bomb the shit out of them.
Maybe Syria should be a free zone for ISIS.
Can you tell the Middle East we're not using a nuclear weapon?
I would never say that. I would never take any of my cards off the table.
How about Europe?
I'm not going to take it off the table.
You might use it in Europe?
He appeared to mock a reporter with a disability.
I don't remember!
Planned Parenthood should absolutely be defunded.
How do you ban abortion?
We'll go back to a position like they had, where people will perhaps go to illegal places.
Should the woman be punished for having abortion?
There has to be some form of punishment.
Will you condemn David Duke and say that you don't want his vote or other white supremacists?
I don't know anything about white supremacists, so I don't know.
Knock the crap out of him, would you?
I'd like to punch him in the face. Everything I said that you folks, I do, okay? I do.
Much better ad for the simple reason it's more policy-oriented. So they have his words about Mexicans, they're rapists, the deportation force. He wants to ban gun-free zones on school campuses. He wants to ban all Muslims. He wants to kill the families of terrorists. He wouldn't take off the table nuking Europe. He wants to defund Planned Parenthood. And the list goes on and on of just the idiotic policies that he's in favor of there. If you focus on that, you have a much better chance of winning. And even that white supremacy part was good, where he's like, well, you don't want the votes of the KKK, right? He's like, well, white supremacy, I don't know anything about white supremacy. I don't know. Not a good answer. So That stuff is much more policy specific than the other ad, which just tries to generate outrage by using other idiot Republicans to attack him. So that's a better one, but I still have some criticisms of this one, and I still don't think in the end it's going to be super effective, because I think that, number one, it's way too long, and number two, it's not simple enough. And I think people underestimate how important that is, because people nowadays, we have the attention span of a gnat. And we're looking all around, fucking checking Twitter, looking on Facebook, doing 8,000 different things. So it's a decent ad, don't get me wrong, but there's just too much jammed in there, and you don't let the message sink in with each, punch you land on them. So when you jump from one thing, they're rapists, deportation force, gun-free zones, banned on schools, you gotta hit them, and you gotta understand the weight of what you just argued. So you got to let it settle. You know what I mean? Which is why I don't like these minute-long ads or longer. I'm honestly much more like 15-second ads, 30-second ads. And it's got to be highlighting one specific issue. You can make a million ads, but let them each highlight one specific issue. And, I was thinking about it. What kind of ad would I run against Trump? What would be my, biggest, hardest-hitting ad against Trump? Well, it does include a piece of audio that they used in there when he said we have to attack the terrorist families. I would include that audio in there. And then I would have John McCain or some general come out there, and you see him, dressed in uniform or whatever, and you have him say into the camera, Trump doesn't want to fight ISIS. He wants to become ISIS. And boom, cut it off there. So have him, isolate him saying, let's target civilians in the Middle East, and then cut to a general where he says, Trump wants America to become a terrorist nation. Cut to Trump again, where Trump made the comments about how the Geneva Conventions are a problem. Play that audio. Then jump to the next and have the general say, Trump doesn't want to fight ISIS. Trump wants to become ISIS. And then have some scary music and post on the screen, vote Donald Trump. For America to become ISIS, or something to that effect. I haven't thought of a witty way to frame that and a punchy, simple way to frame that. But that's what you do. And you run that ad over and over and over and over and over until people go, oh, Donald Trump, he wants to be a terrorist. He wants America to be a terrorist nation. That's what you do, and that would work. Like, for example, against Barry Goldwater, who Hillary Clinton supported, by the way, there were ads against him that turned him into the character and the president that would drop the nuclear weapon. And people said, whoa, this guy's that crazy? I could never vote for him. Because they kept running that ad, they kept doubling down, they kept hammering him and saying, he's gonna drop a nuke, man. He's gonna drop a fucking nuke. He's gonna drop a nuke. And they, obviously then there'd be retaliation. So I think it was his ad, the Daisy ad is it called, where like this little girl on a playground gets incinerated in a fucking nuclear weapon. People went, oh shit, if we vote for this guy, we're gonna get nuked too. Because if you nuke somebody, they nuke you back. Well, that's what you got to portray Trump in the same way. So, because it is kind of true about him. I don't want that guy having nukes. He's impulsive as fuck. He just said to Chris Matthews, I wouldn't take off the table nuke in Europe. I wouldn't take it off the table. You fucking should. You should, dipshit. So, yeah, use his words against him. And short, to the point, punchy ads. I'd also make an ad at some point with his contradictions. I wouldn't even use anybody else's words. I would just... Everything he said, like on taxes, he's flip-flop on taxes like a motherfucker. On wages, he's flip-flop like a motherfucker. On foreign policy, he's flip-flop like a motherfucker. He's flip-flop on virtually every single issue. So why not, in the short, quick, punchy sound bites, have him say one thing and another thing, one thing and another thing, one thing and another thing, one thing and another thing. And at the end of the ad, just say one thing. Which Donald Trump are you voting for? He's taken every position of every issue. So there are ways to attack him and bring him down. They're not there yet. This campaign is not there yet. Because when, especially with the ad on, with the Republicans attacking him, that's not going to do dick, okay? And the other ad is a little bit better, but it's too busy. You got too much going on, too many things. You have to understand that your words carry weight. And so when you have a 15-second or 30-second ad and you hammer one issue, you got to leave people with the impression like, oh my God, this is huge. Because guess what? It kind of is huge. So that's how you run the campaign. Is it possible Hillary Clinton blows this thing? Of course it is, because, as I said the other day, if she runs a PC outrage-based campaign, she's going to lose. So if she does do what she did against Bernie, I can't be the establishment, I'm a woman! You're going to lose if you do that. So if she goes down that path, if she continues to snub her base, she will lose. But is it possible to run a solid campaign against Trump and destroy him? Absolutely. You just got to know what you're doing. Okay. I got to take a quick break. When we come back, I got a lot of stuff, man. Big news on the issue of healthcare. Rob Reiner calls out Morning Joe in glorious fashion and much more. Stay right there. Back, y'all. Hey, by the way, if I end up like, if in the next few months we have like some shorter Friday shows and stuff, don't be mad. I'm really trying my best because I'm trying to balance doing the show and getting all the editing and uploading done and whatnot. And now there's a studio thing in the works, like I said. And the part I'm dreading the most is there's going to be a renovation involved. You think I know what the fuck I'm doing with the renovation? I know Dickie McGeezak's about a renovation. So there's going to be times where I have no choice, but I got to, like, you know, cut the week a little short or something because I need to, you know, get the studio going. And I have to be there at times for the renovation. So, you know how it is. I think you guys know how it is where – so sometimes other things butt into it. So anyway, but obviously I'll do my best. You think I want to miss the show? I never want to miss this fucking show. But anyway, there are days I should have taken off where I was like, no, I'm doing it. Fuck off. So anyway, let's continue here with the issue of healthcare. We have some big news here on the issue of healthcare. The Washington Post reports more than 2,000 physicians announced their support Thursday for a single-payer national healthcare system, unveiling a proposal drafted by doctors that appears to resonate with Bernie Sanders' call for Medicare for All. In an editorial and paper published in the American Journal of Public Health on Thursday, the doctors call out the persistent shortcomings of the current healthcare system. They warn about the risks of continuing along the path laid out by the Affordable Care Act. They say down this road, millions of Americans remain uninsured, underinsurance grows, costs rise, and inefficiency and the search for profits are abetted. So I have to tell you, some people are surprised by this. They're just like, oh my goodness, I cannot believe it. But if you've been familiar with this issue for a longer time, then you'd understand. Duh. You file this under www.duh.org because every other modern nation has a system like this. Like, what makes us think we're above the rules? Like, obviously, we get to do a shittier, more primitive system and pretend like we're number one in the process. That's what we do. Yeah, but it would just require a minimal amount of research and understanding of economics and government. Yeah, so that system works better. Guys, when it comes to healthcare, it's just a matter of funding. How are you going to do the funding? Are you going to do it in a private system or are you going to do it in a public system? Single payer just means the government is the single payer. They are the insurer for healthcare. That's it. And remember, in the private system, the system we have right now, this capitalist system, you have insurance companies that are nothing but a predatory, cash-sucking, for-profit middleman that are unnecessary. It is unnecessary. And think about how it works. You know you're getting fucked. Even if you know nothing about the system, you know you're getting fucked. So you have to pay X amount per month, whatever the fuck it is, for your premiums. And then when something happens, what do they say to you? Oh, that's great. So, all right, we're going to pay for some of it, but first you got to file a claim. And then also your deductible is whatever it is, $1,000. I mean, think about that. So you're paying probably hundreds of dollars a month. And then when something happens, they go, great, you pay for the first $1,000. Why the fuck have I been paying you if I'm going to pay the first $1,000? Then give me back the money I fucking paid you. What kind of bullshit is this? And then also, like, you file a claim, it's cool. Right, so, like, you're laying in a hospital bed, and you're fucking half unconscious, and your leg's falling off. And you're like, okay, where's the paperwork? Let's see. Writing shit, or somebody you know's got to do it for you. What a preposterous system! You know how it should work? Sick help. I think that's from John Q, the Denzel movie. Sick help. Sick help. That's what you should get when you're sick. And you shouldn't have to worry about it, man. We spend trillions of dollars. We spent $7 trillion on the war in Iraq. $7 trillion. We can't fucking not invade random countries and kill random civilians and reallocate that money so that when your spleen's falling out your ass, you get help and you don't have to go bankrupt. You do know the number one cause of bankruptcy in America is medical bills, right? You do know that in the U.S., 45,000 people die every single year because they don't have access to basic medical care, right? It's a national embarrassment. The world looks at us on this and they're like, are you serious? There are people who, they come from countries with universal health care, and they're hesitant to even come to America. Why? They go, well, what if something happens to me when I'm there? I want to fucking go bankrupt and have them take all my money because I need, you know, some medical procedure or something. So people actually, before they come into the country, they some of them buy private insurance. What are we doing, man? We've covered stories of somebody who had complications in their birth. They came on vacation to America. They had complications in their birth. Next thing you know, they owe hundreds of thousands of dollars. So they deliver early. They were on vacation. They weren't expecting to deliver. They have to deliver. There's complications. Next thing you know, they owe hundreds of thousands of dollars, money they don't have. This is the United States of America when it comes to healthcare. The answer is so obvious. The only reason why we haven't done it yet is special interests. It's the private health insurance companies that are lobbying the government, giving politicians money and saying, don't change it. Even with the Obama administration, like, okay, Obamacare was a step in the right direction. It's by no means the cure-all. Why did they go with this weak, watered-down, center-right plan that used to be the Republicans' plan? Could it be because even the Democrats take money from private insurance companies? No, it could never be that. How dare you impugn the integrity of these Democrats who are just so great? No, they're also fucking sellouts, just to a slightly lesser degree than the Republicans. So this is the horrific system that we have. It's time to get rid of it and do the right thing. You know, Obama had said way back, hey, if I could start the system from scratch, I'd do a Medicare for All system. I'd do a single payer. Well, if only you had a position of power, maybe you could try to bring that about. You're the fucking president of the United States. Oh, he didn't have the votes. Not true. Go back and look at what Tom Harkin said. Tom Harkin said, actually, we had the votes. You just didn't push for it. Yeah, but Kyle, the Blue Dog Democrats wouldn't have voted for it. You have no idea how to play politics. You know what LBJ would have done? He would have called those blue dogs into his office and say, are you going to vote for this bill? No, Mr. President, I'm not going to vote for it. Great, your political career is over. It's done. That's it. You're done. Your career is gone. What do you mean, Mr. President? Well, you're not going to vote for this legislation. What is it in front of you? Is it a D in front of your name? That's right. Okay, this is a Democratic bill. You're going to vote for this bill. What, you want to go with the Republicans? Okay, well, guess what? This election, we're going to primary the fuck out of you, and I'm going to go campaign for the person who's running against you, and we're going to have the DNC pour a tremendous amount of money into their campaign. So if you don't vote for this, your career is over. I hope you like selling cars or doing something like that, because that's where you're going to be, bitch. And you know what happens? They buckle. So you have the votes for at least a public option, and you didn't get it. You know, you could have, period. So we got to move in that direction, because this system does not work, and it's massively corrupt. And anybody who knows the facts, they understand that, and they know that they're getting hosed, because they are. Okay. Next. Rob Reiner was on MSNBC, and he called out Morning Joe for going soft on Donald Trump, and they didn't like it very much. Let's watch.
We have to start, you know, and you had Bob Woodward on your show at one point.
Yeah.
And
that's fascinating.
Well, I remember him saying, we have to hold these people accountable.
Right.
We have to ask those tough second, third, fourth, and fifth tier questions. Chris Matthews.
Did you see what happened when we let Woodward ask the second, third, fourth, and fifth questions?
Well, I don't.
Same exact thing that happened to everybody else.
It doesn't matter.
I know.
It doesn't matter. Chris Matthews held Trump accountable on his position on abortion. He
right.
didn't let him up.
Right.
He kept going at it, and it was the most revealing thing that happened during this entire campaign season. The words that have been flung out from his mouth to are insane. If he was not a celebrity,
mm-hmm.
if Donald Trump was not a celebrity,
right.
the words that come out of his mouth, you'd see a guy in a park, a lunatic in a park on a soapbox, and you'd walk right by him. But the fact that he is a celebrity, all of a sudden, we're all interested. And, you know, I love Steve Kornacki. I love the guys that work on your show.
Right.
But when Steve Kornacki says, can you imagine the ratings they're going to be when Trump and Hillary in the first debate? Well, yeah, of course they're going to be raised, but who cares?
Right.
What we have to care about is what does this man say?
Yeah.
What does he say?
Of course we do.
He's not pinned down. I want to hear how he's going to deport 12 million people.
Because you're just talking, you're not letting anybody else talk. We have asked those questions. I would bet you your proceeds from your next 20 films that I can find you any question that you bring up now about the wall, which Mika tried to nail him down. The Muslim ban. We gave Bob Woodward 20 minutes.
We said go for it.
And what he does is he talks around in circles. So the questions are asked, and they're repeated.
No,
and we've asked repeatedly.
Okay, so then the next question is. Why are you talking around in circles?
Right.
Why are you not answering my question?
Yeah. Yes, we've asked that question.
And then what does he say?
He says, I am. Believe me.
Well,
even when
that's
Mika
not... Wait a minute. I'll be you.
Believe me is not an answer.
Believe me is not an answer.
That's what I said
Then what does he say?
He keeps going on and on and on in circles.
Okay, and then,
you act like you have some special thoughts that you think we're not adding to.
This is what everybody... Face, and it's one of the great frustrations of covering Donald Trump, people say, you know, you should really ask him.
You
I go,
should be
well,
tough.
We did. I'll send you the clip. You know, you should really
ask
him.
We're
going
to make
and
you
so
a little
finally,
montage.
And we will. So finally you say, would you like me to actually get on top of him and like, pin him down with my
Maybe feet? I should stick my heel down his throat and tell him he's not answering the question. Does that make you feel
it's
good?
One of the, no. Is that not one of the frustrations that people always come to say, well, why didn't you ask me this? Well, I did, and this is what he said. It is an ongoing frustration for us. Well,
they're apoplectic. What? Us? We've been tougher than anybody on Trump. How dare you suggest we haven't? This is a perfect case of thou doth protest too much. Hey, guys, I got bad news for you. There's this thing that exists that was invented a while back. It's called video. We know how you treated him. Let's take a look.
What about what you told Chris Matthews a few weeks ago, which is that women who get abortions should be punished? Do you still believe that to be true?
No, he was asking me a theoretical or just a question in theory, and I talked about it only from that standpoint. Of course not. And that was done. He said, you know, I guess it was theoretically, but he was asking me a rhetorical question, and I gave an answer. And by the way, people thought from an academic standpoint and asked rhetorically, people said that answer was an unbelievable academic answer, but of course not. And I said that afterwards. Everybody understands.
Yeah, hey, so Donald, there are two family members around this set that are very happy this morning. My brother is extraordinarily happy.
He's a great guy, by the way.
George brutalized me for 9 months whenever I criticized you, and Nicole actually had to stop going home for a while.
Sorry, last night.
But her parents, did you get a
last night.
I make a speech, get on a plane, make a speech. You're working.
Well, I tell you what, I did it. The Bloomberg poll. All the folks that say look great in South Carolina. All of them.
Yeah.
But I'm being hit. You know, they're spending $75 million in negative ads on me over the last 2 weeks. Are they catching on at all?
No.
What do you think? Are they catching on?
No.
They're vicious. They're spending a tremendous amount of negative ads on me.
No. You know what I thought was kind of a wow moment was the guy you brought up on stage.
Yeah, that was cool.
We played it several times this morning.
We played it up against Obama.
For both guys. For
both guys.
For years, we played Obama first.
The young guy
and then we
the
played
champ.
The guys. Actually, I watched your show this morning. You have me almost as a legendary figure. I like.
No, I tell you, this morning, what we basically said today was we were completely wrong about the
totally.
Debate. Yeah.
I thought
I did really well in the debate. Show, I have to tell you.
I did. Yes, I'm.
Three viewer questions.
You did not, right?
Oh my God! I was like, he's melting down. I think it's really gonna explode. I thought your head was gonna explode.
We were wrong.
I did.
We said what?
We were
head
wrong.
Was
oh no!
Yeah.
I thought I did.
My daughter was screaming.
Oh, by the way, he told me just. I was having fun.
Oh my God!
One more segment,
and then we're good. Thank you for doing this.
I'm doing it because
I did.
You know, you get great ratings and a raise.
Mm-hmm.
Me, I get nothing.
We're getting a real window into your. So.
Well.
Just make us all look good.
Exactly.
Oh, okay. You don't want me to do the ones deportation.
We really have to go to some questions.
That's right. Nothing too hard, Mika.
Okay.
Flowers again. Look at that.
We're so hard on him. We're so tough on him. We always go after him real difficult. Nothing too hard, Mika. Okay. You had me as almost a legendary figure in that thing that you were showing over and over and over. Yeah, we showed it a bunch of times. That's right. Yeah, really. Totally. When we said you did poorly in the debate, oh, we were so wrong. Forgive us, Mr. Trump. We love you. You want a smooth hand job here. Does that feel good? You like that? How pathetic. Pathetic. Then they have the nerve to say to Rob Reiner, we've been really difficult on him. And I love Mika's face, too, when she's angry at Robert. Robert, you think you have some sort of special sauce. No, he has eyes. That's what he has. He sees exactly what you're doing. And I actually think, so one of them was obviously the audio that was released from when the camera was off. But then I actually think the first one is worse, because the first one, Trump gives the worst answer in American political history about any question, and then Morning Joe goes right back to coddling his ball sack. He's like, You know, Donald, there are some happy people. My brother loves you. And then Nicole Wallace's family loves you, too. It's so cute. They tweeted her about you. Dude, he just said when he was asked, hey, should women get punished for abortions? Well, you know, what was happening in the debate was it was a theoretical question. Of course it wasn't a theoretical question. It was a theoretical question, and it was a thing in theory. And, you know, see, what people who listened to my answer said, they said, well, actually, from an academic perspective, in theory, rhetorically, it was a perfect answer. It was the best answer ever. But no, absolutely not. It was theoretical. So my brother loves you. No, you suck. You suck. You suck. You suck. You suck. Now, some people might say, well, Kyle, this is just a small sampling. That's true. But if I were to put a percentage on it, I would say at least 80% of the time they suck at their job. Okay? Sometimes they do a decent job. Usually it's by accident. Like when they mentioned Bob Woodward really held his feet to the fire on how the fuck are you going to get them to pay for a wall if they say they're not going to pay for it, talking about Mexico. And he made Trump look like an asshole, which is correct because Trump has no actual plan. What are you going to do, start a war with them? Bob Woodward asked. What are you going to start a war with them? They're not going to fucking pay for it. What are you going to do? Okay, that was a rare example on their show of somebody doing their job. Outside of that, few and far between examples of it. Is softballs. Trump literally said, all right, just make us all look good. And you could see Trump was prepping them. He was buttering them up. He's like, yeah, you know, I come on this show. You guys get good ratings. You get a raise. What do I get out of it? What do I get out of it? And Morning Joe's like, yeah, let's talk more. You're so hot. And Trump's like, well, you know, hey. Just make us look good, that's all. Nothing too hard, Mika. Okay. Yeah, they're so hard on him. My ass cheeks. All right, let's move on to, I love this next study. Shows you one of the many differences between liberals and conservatives, on average, I should say. There's a new study done by researchers at the University of Georgia, published in the journal PLOS1, and it ranks your political affiliation with how much you fall for bullshit. So, participants were read statements like this, quote, imagination is inside exponential space-time events. And hidden meaning transforms unparalleled abstract beauty. Now, my initial reaction when I read those things is, oh, that's Deepak Chopra-ish nonsense. And that indeed is true. So I don't know exactly how they came up with it, some random like word generator, which, by the way, it exists online, like a Deepak Chopra quote generator. It's hilarious. I recommend you take a look at it. But that's basically what they have here. They have a sentence that's actually grammatically correct, but it says nothing. There's no actual substance there, and you would need to create the substance by making it up in your mind. So they had people all across the political spectrum look at these comments, how profound they are. And would you like to take a guess who fell for bullshit the most? Here's the conclusion of the study. Quote, misperceiving bullshit as profound is associated with favorable views of Cruz, Rubio, Trump, and conservatism. Oh, that's hilarious. It's hilarious because of how straightforward the conclusion is. Yeah, conservatives fall for bullshit much more. Dude, nobody should be surprised by this. There was a study of Fox News that showed, I'm not kidding, that people who watch Fox News and get their news from Fox News, they know less than people who watch no news. So if you watch no news and you just talk about like what you think is happening in the world, you're more accurate, you're more correct than somebody who watches Fox News on a daily basis. Why? They give you bullshit. They give you misinformation. People who watch Fox, conservatives, they read, imagination is inside exponential space-time events, and they go, oh, that's so profound, man. I'm going to put that on my car next to my Jesus bumper sticker. Embarrassing. Now, again, understand, guys, it's not, that doesn't mean all conservatives, and it doesn't mean like all liberals are by definition smarter than conservatives. Of course, there are instances of, you know, a conservative being smarter than a liberal, and that's a given. And also, it doesn't mean that, you know, liberals have a monopoly on that which is good. Like, we've covered studies before that show that on average, conservatives are much happier than liberals. So that old saying, ignorance is bliss, might indeed be true. But, okay, so they have more on the happiness meter. We have more on the intelligence meter. We fall less for bullshit. But this is kind of a study, and it is kind of science. So if you disagree with it, you can fuck right off. So if you don't like it, it is what it is. You know, don't give me PC outrage. You know how the conservatives are like, liberal PC outrage. Well, if you don't like the conclusion of this study, and so you're mad at it, wouldn't you be the one doing PC outrage? I don't like the conclusion, so I'm going to get mad and offended and outraged. Don't disagree with me. Disagree with the researchers at the University of Georgia published in the scientific journal PLOS-1. Conservatives, on average, fall more for bullshit than liberals. All right, more. Ayelet Shaked is an Israeli politician. She's a member of the far-right Jewish Home Party. For those of you who don't know, that's actually to the right of Netanyahu's Likud party. And she's, ironically, the justice minister. Well, she sat down with the Washington Post for an interview, and she made some really troubling comments about criticizing Israel. She said the following, quote, "In the past, we saw European leaders speaking against the Jews. Now we see them speaking against Israel. It is the same anti-Semitism of blood libel, spreading lies, distorting reality, and brainwashing people into hating Israel and the Jews. Today, it is not politically correct to be anti-Semitic, but being anti-Israel is acceptable. People who have such anti-Semitic views should not be allowed to hold central leadership positions." Wow. Now, okay, the first thing that came to mind when I read this is actually Islam. Because there's the same kind of trick that happens sometimes with Islam, where if you criticize the doctrine of Islam and you point to specific verses where you say, that's not good, people go, oh, Islamophobia, you're an anti-Muslim bigot. No, wait, I'm disagreeing with the ideology of the religion. That doesn't make me a bigot. It would make me a bigot if I hated all Muslims. I don't hate all Muslims. I'm disagreeing with the ideology and saying you shouldn't believe it because it's bullshit, in the same way that I would disagree with the doctrine of Christianity or Buddhism or Hinduism. Does that make me a Christian phobe or Buddhist phobe or Hindu phobe? No. You're allowed to not buy into a religion and not be a bigot. Well, they're trying to do the same fucking trick here where, say, oh, you criticize the right-wing government of Israel that's doing taking more land, doing more bombings, killing more innocent Palestinians in Gaza. You must be an anti-Semite. No. Criticizing the state, the government of Israel, and their actions does not equal anti-Semitism, because then, by definition, any criticism of the government of Israel is anti-Semitic. So that means you can literally never disagree with what they're doing ever. They can do anything, and if you say anything against it, well, you're an anti-Semite. You hate all Jews because you criticize the government of Israel. This is utter nonsense, guys. Why is there like a war on nuance happening in the world? I don't get it. Like, no, you can disagree with religious doctrine and not hate all religious people. That should be obvious to people. But in order to escape critique and to escape criticism, people try to muddy the waters and mesh the two together. With Israel, same thing. Oh, you disagree with the bombing in Gaza that killed 60 to 80% civilians, where there was an attack on hospitals and schools and the only power plant in Gaza? You must hate all Jews. No, I hate what I told you I hate. I hate the actions that killed 60 to 80% civilians, made Gaza, quote, perhaps uninhabitable by 2020, according to the UN, and you bombed hospitals, schools, and the only power plant. I hate that. I hate the actions of the right-wing Israeli government. I hate settlements. I hate settlements no matter who the fuck was doing it. You could be Jewish. You could be fucking Mongolian. You could be anything. I don't give a shit. I don't like it. So, but again, shut down debate by saying, you're anti-Semite because you disagree with Israel. And by the way, why was she saying this? It was in reference to BDS, the Boycott, Divestment, and Sanctions Movement. Guys, it's working. That's why they're getting so mad. What was the number we reported on recently? I think it's 20 to 30%. According to a recent study, 20 to 30% of businesses have left the occupied territories, have left the West Bank, because people are cracking down and saying, we're not going to buy your goods. Boycott, divestment, sanctions. If you stay in that area, we're not going to buy your goods, so you're going to have to move out of there for your own good. Well, see, it works. It works when you put economic pressure. So now, because it's working, Well, press that fucking red button. Go nuts. You hate all Jews because you don't want occupation to continue. Fuck off. Your arguments aren't even mildly convincing, and anybody with a brain can see and go, you're ridiculous. All right, more. Probably the last story of the day here, guys. Let's see. Right-wing radio lunatic Michael Savage is going to take it to a new low here, which is wild for him because he's so low and he's been there before. Listen to what he had to say about Obama.
Line 8, Bob on KLIF in Dallas. Go ahead, please, sir. What's on your mind?
Dr. Savage, I'm outside. I'm kind of in hiding. I appreciate your program. I just appreciate your voice of America. Real quickly, I have to say this. I'm a retired Air Force veteran for 21 years. Secret special access required. We're three different weapon systems, two of them new to the administration. I've been with the Immigration Service for 15 years. Came on right before 9/11. And I can tell you the last 8 years, we are seeing a systematic genocide of a single race of people within this country. And he's using my very agency to destroy this country through genocide.
Yeah, I know the genocide. I know which race he has targeted. It doesn't take an Albert Einstein to see what he's doing and who he's targeting. In that sense, he's a madman.
Yes.
He's a madman. He has a vendetta. A specific vendetta that is obvious to anyone who studies what he is doing, who he is favoring. How could the good shepherds permit Obama and the extreme left that is running America subvert and literally destroy this country from within? It's a very simple question with very simple, straight answers, and I want the answers from you. Is there no one listening to this show who has been or is in intelligence who is willing to step forward and divulge to us where you have gone and why you keep your mouth shut? Don't you understand you have become the good German? Don't tell me that if you lived during Hitler's time and you heard about the burning of bodies in the gas chambers, you would have done something. He's burning the nation to the ground.
So Obama is like Hitler, and of course there's a white genocide going on. It's really freaky how often that's being brought up. Like, remember the old Navy ad that we covered? It was an interracial couple in the ad, and then it was like, miscegenation, oh my God, white genocide. People literally lose their shit over the fact that there's an interracial couple and they had a kid. They ain't a purebred no more. This is wrong. This is like pedophilia. The fuck are you talking about? Two consenting adults got nothing to do with you. But the white race is genocide of the white people. Unbelievable. Okay, Michael Savage agrees with that. He agrees there's a genocide against white people and says that Obama's like Hitler. And the cherry on top of this that I find unbelievable is that when Obama actually does shit that's fucked up, like, for example, the drone program where we learn from internal government memos that 90% of the time we get the wrong people. 90% of the time we're killing the wrong people. Did Michael Savage do a whole segment about that? About how, oh my God, this is the U.S. acting like a rogue terror nation, and that's unacceptable and that's wrong? He didn't say dick about that. Why? Because, hey, if you're killing brown people, the fuck do I care? Civilian, not civilian, whatever. Go to work on that. I agree with you on that. But here in the U.S., white genocide! White genocide! Obama has a weird way of doing a genocide by not killing any white people and having most of his cabinet and his closest advisors be white people. It's amazing how much they just make shit up. Okay, I'm out of time, guys. I'm out of time for the week. I love all you. Everybody have a great weekend. We'll see you back here on Monday. Much love. Peace. Mwah.